Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
Late bloomers can bring delightful color to your yard in the autumn, but can swift weather changes imperil the plant? I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field. From the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences, it's Patrick Murphy!
Laura, how are you?
I'm doing swell. Glad to have you here. And today on GLT's Grow, we have a question from John in Charlestown, West Virginia, submitted on our website, wglt.org/grow. He says he has a daisy plant that begins to flower very late in the growing season. It just started to bloom on September 24th, and it won't be long before they're going to have their first freeze there in West Virginia. And so he wonders if that's going to put an end to the flowers. Is this normal? Is there anything that he can do to have the plant bloom earlier so they can enjoy the flowers for a little bit longer than just a couple of weeks? The plant, he says, gets over 8 hours of direct sun a day. So what's the deal? Is there any way he can make it bloom earlier?
Well, I'm going to answer that question by highlighting something that happens a lot in this industry, this green industry, and it's interpretation of things, right? So you could explain this scenario, John's scenario, you could explain it away by saying, hey, you can't set your watch by what a plant's going to do.
Right.
Yeah, that's true, but that doesn't give us much satisfaction.
Right.
It states that the plant is getting a full 8 hours of sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
That's critical because you have to have 6 or more hours of direct high-angle sun to qualify as direct sunlight.
Oh.
Not out in the sun underneath the eaves of branches that are 30 feet high. That's not direct sun.
Mm-hmm.
A wafting shadow that passes back and forth as the angle of the sun changes, that is not full sun. That's partial sun. And I am only pointing that out because sight unseen, it's very common for plants to develop flowers late and to be a dismal display when they're lacking sunlight.
Uh-huh.
So he can expand his detective work by focusing on the cultural factors that this plant needs. So is there too much, too little water? Is the soil just right? Too soggy or too dry?
All right.
And is it getting enough sunlight? And then if there are any other anomalies that might affect the plant from there, we can answer that. But I thought it was also a good question to talk about the cold season annuals and the fall flowers that we have out there. Much of the Midwest is warmer than usual, and a lot of this plant material is not really showy. It's not showy as it would be if it was cooler, because that's what it's looking for.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was fortunate enough to be at Niepegan's recently. And I noticed that the plant material looked fantastic. And I noticed that also that Lee Niepegan looked like he might have been very tired, because he's probably watering and watering
and watering
way
yeah.
more than he normally would.
Mm-hmm. That helps him look fantastic.
Yeah, that helps with the tan and the nice felt figure. But that for sure is something that is a challenge for all these mums, chard, pansies, ornamental peppers, kale, all the things that we love to see in our autumn display, they're really not loving this heat we're having.
Okay.
So I think that might have something to do with John's scenario too, because it's the cultural factors that impact how our plants perform.
I see. Okay.
Right?
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, late bloomers and a warm, long summer going into autumn, not helping out in that regard.
And so then there's some good news, though. Some of our late bloomers, like Tardiva hydrangeas, the Lyriope ground cover, you know, it is a late summer bloomer. There are some reliable yet underutilized landscaping plants that are doing just fine with all of this heat, and it is a little bit on the dry side because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have to consider that when you're building your flower beds and your shrub beds and things like that, and plan ahead for that. You can avoid it. Another thing, thinking about with John's flowers, is he's not always going to be able to just you know, have that same that plant in the same spot year after year and get it to perform the same way. It might be time to consider lifting that plant out of the ground and dividing it and replanting it.
Oh.
Perhaps amending the soil or doing some kind of maintenance on the bed where that plant is growing.
Okay, like what kind of soil amendment?
Peat moss is a good soil amendment. Mm-hmm. Oak leaf mold. There are different kinds of peat moss, mind you. So some is a ground kind of fiber. It's easy to mix into the soil. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Mushroom compost is another fine garden amendment that you can find at, you know, garden centers like Neepagans and places like that. It's common. And you can also weave in your own compost. Great way to start building that profile of beneficials in your soil. And it is something that you should do if a perennial bed is one that's been left alone for a long time. You've got to kind of inject some organic matter into that soil over the years to get that fantastic return on your blooms that you're looking for. Even your vegetables are that way.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So let's say maybe John would like to try other plants that might be good late bloomers. Do you have any suggestions of things maybe that we don't see as often?
Well, I'm a big fan of Bergenia, and it's not that it's such a late bloomer, it's just a long bloomer.
Oh.
And it's a kind of a fleshy, large leafed ground cover. It's something that's tolerant enough that you see it in the parkways and, you know, the city of Chicago.
So it's going to put up with a lot of crap.
It is, and the salt too. You know, So if this is a planting area that's near a driveway or a walk, I think it's one to be considered, and it has just an unusual texture. And even when the flowers aren't there, it has ornamental character. These large, round leaves are glossy, so they're attractive that way. American Beauty Bush is another one that I just fall in love with every year. I see it on campus. There's a real nice stand of it here at the Arboretum.
When I hear American Beauty, I think roses.
Yeah, well, this is a bush that bears these grape-colored tiny seed berries right along its stem.
Ooh.
And the stem has kind of a herringbone fashion of leaves that alternate back and forth along a large, graceful bough.
Uh-huh.
So even before the berries and stuff show up, it's a fine shrub, I think. And that's something to consider.
Absolutely. Well, what about worrying about sunshine with regards to the plant that John has?
I was wondering about that when I first saw the question, Laura, because mm-hmm. his description is usually one that you find with a plant that's not getting enough sun. And I can tell you this from experience, because at my house this year, the hostas were in the sun and the tomatoes were in the shade. And it was I had to compromise.
Uh-huh.
I had to compromise. But I had a dismal return on both.
Mm-hmm, I'll bet you.
You know, and so tomatoes were late to arrive. And in that same bed where I had the tomatoes, I had some blood flowers, like an annual flower growing mm-hmm. in there. And that reminded me of that scenario when I read John's question, because I didn't get flowers until about a month ago. And then here they are on the way out already.
Yeah.
And I can tell you from discussions with my wife and my neighbors, a lot of people are of the opinion where my blood flowers were at is full sun, because it's just not in the dark shadows of the woodline.
But it's not enough sun.
It's full unobstructed sun.
Mm-hmm.
Unobstructed. That means nothing overhead for 6 to 8 hours. And I don't want to repeat myself too much, but beyond the cultural factors, that's what John needs to look at.
Okay, John, take a look at your yard and also consider maybe dividing or getting some new plants in. So thank you so much for your question. Next week on GLT's Grow, it's leaf nibblers and what to do about them. They're out there chomping away. So we're going to be taking that next week. If you've got a garden question or problem you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow, fill in the form, send it along, and maybe Murph will answer your question on the air. Just submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.